What's happening?
My beautiful people, you're now tuned in to the Big and Bright Show.
It's your boy Big.
And it's your boy Bright.
Yes, sir. Episode, what you call it? Double dozen? 24.
24 in the books.
Let's go.
I know it's a little, well, we're going to have a moment of silence for Big right now as his Lions have died on him this season. Playoff hopes are over. Stick a fork in them. They're done, baby.
Forget about it.
That's what they want, little dipsy-doo, jamaroo.
Yeah, man, they threw, man. But I'm trying to figure out how you going to finish that bag of popcorn without making all that noise.
Don't worry about that.
Like I did with them Skittles last episode.
I got skills.
Skills to pay the bills.
But, yeah, man, I know you wanted to dig in on your Lions, man. So go ahead, bro. You got the floor.
You know what, bro? I appreciate you, man. But I'm good, man. This is what I'm going to do, man. After 60 years, and I'm only 36 years old, I haven't even begun to see what our grandfathers and uncles have seen. This debacle of a franchise for the last 60-plus years. This past week were two American tragedies where we had a moment of silence for. One of them was former President John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated on the very same day the Detroit Lions were purchased by William Clay Ford Jr. Those two things happened on the same day. Two American tragedies. I regret the day that he ever bought the Lions, man. I mean, this franchise has just been utterly disgusting, utterly ridiculous. I mean, 6-plus decades of mediocrity, of bottom of the barrel. I don't know how us Lions fans have done this so long, man. I really don't understand what our logic is. You know, it's been this is the year every year since 1957. You got skills. I see you over there.
No doubt.
But it's been a shame, man. And honestly, man, I feel the worst for the Lions fans. You know, half of us are crazy and delusional and off our rockers. The other half are the ones who, you know, we're realist. And I'm a realist enough to say I don't feel like the Lions are ever going to do anything. I mean,
the sun shines on dogs every
now and again.
So are you renouncing the Lions right
here? I am renouncing my fandom as a Lions, Detroit Lions fan on this day.
Marco, cue the Undertaker music now. Let's put them in the box. Let's close it. Let's throw dirt over it. Now, you know you can't come back from this.
Man, I'm done with the Lions, bro. You know, I still got some Lions, you know, clothes and stuff and hats and stuff. I spent money on it. I'm a rocket. So if you see me rocking my Lions.
No, I bought it. No, I don't give a damn.
I'm not finna be like.
Once you're done, you're done. That's like saying you're going to break up with the hot chick, but oh, I'm still
keep her a picture in my phone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have her picture on my pillow at night.
Yeah.
Or under it.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. If you're done, you're done.
I am done with the Lions. Part of me wants to give him like one or two more years, and the other part is just like, we're never gonna win. But then the other part of me is like, if I jump off the bandwagon, they're gonna just turn the whole thing around. The Ford's gonna sell the team.
It's not gonna happen.
They're gonna go get Lincoln Riley. They're gonna start drafting like the best players in the draft. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you renounced it already, so you're done.
I'm done, man. I'm done with the Lions, bro.
Okay, you've been asked since the 50s. I don't understand why you think something's going to change.
I know. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's always a part of us that feels like there is a tomorrow.
See, and this is why. And
but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I don't.
Well, okay, but before you say what you're going to say, don't lose your thought. My wife tells me all the time. She say, baby, don't give up on the Lions. Just change your expectations of them. But as a Lions, as a fan of a team, I can't do that. I have to go all in. I can't say, okay, let's go Lions, and if they win, woo, and if they lose, oh well, there's always next week. I can't do that, bro. Like that's not a part of me. That's not the fiber who I am. I go all out. I go hard for my squad. I talk trash because I expect it to be backed up. on a weekly basis. And when it's not, it makes me look like a fool. But I'm a fool anyway because I'm going for the Lions.
I am currently pissing on Big's grave right now.
You are so disrespectful.
I am loving it. I am loving this because this is the same guy who sat here and, you know,
I
what,
said 10
you
and 6.
What?
What's more ridiculous? Wait. Me saying Lions go 10 and 6 or you saying Mitchell Trubisky is a top 10 player in the NFL?
Could be. Could be.
Ain't no could be.
Well, I mean, you know what's more crazy, though?
What's more crazy?
Is your Lions going 10 and 6. You want to know why?
Why?
I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why.
Because Mitchell Trubisky went to the Pro Bowl last year. So that was a that wasn't a far-fetched statement. He could have been. He's
but,
not.
But could be.
However.
Could be and am is two different things. But okay. Let me tell you.
But you.
Just like
wait,
we lost all these
you,
close games.
You.
They could easily be flipped.
You, as a Lions fan, mm-hmm. you should know, and you just stated here on the show, that you've never won anything.
We've never won anything.
So why would you think you would go 10 and 6?
10 and 6 is not.
Yes, it is.
Part
it's far-fetched for you.
It's not because we've gone 11-5 and 9-7. What's one more game from 9-7?
A lot.
Yeah, but just as well as you guys went 12-4 last year. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Just as well as you went 12-4, you could have went 8-8. I mean, the ball bounces mm-hmm. here, a fumble here, a couple of inches
you're
here.
You're just not good.
This is true because your record is what you are. What your record says you are.
You're just not good.
However. You're saying we're not good, but we're on the brink of beating KC. We're on the brink of beating Green Bay. And you saw the games, bro. We got
like
cheated, but I'm not
spoken,
here to cry. I'm not
like
here to
spoken like a true loser.
But
and
I'm not
no,
but I'm not here to cry
no,
river.
No, 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 no.
I'm wait, not, I'm just bringing up facts.
Wait, no, because if you really want to know the damn
facts, we were 2-0-1.
If you really want to know the damn facts,
okay.
You kicked too many damn field goals when you should have been scoring touchdowns.
Facts. And I'll
so
give you that.
Don't sit up here
I'm not
and
cry,
say
river.
We got cheated. No, you blew it.
I agree.
You blew it.
I agree.
Plain and simple.
I'm not here to scream and scratch and plead my case. I'm here to say that
your ass.
Yeah. Well, you said it for me.
Pretty much.
A smelly one at that. I mean, this is
stinking ass.
I mean, this has just become like anytime you become numb and you're no longer mad, it's time to move on. Because
oh,
the Lions
like,
have
sounds
ruined.
Like, sounds like my last marriage.
Wow. the Lions have ruined many a Sundays for me. And, you know, the saddest part is when, you know, because everybody's going to watch football on Thanksgiving. Mm. The Lions always happen to be the first game on Thanksgiving.
The first ass beating on Thanksgiving.
The first season beating.
As you say.
It's just a shame when you as a fan become numb and say, oh, okay, the game. Like anytime the game is on in the background, you know.
Why you slicing into that turkey?
Yeah, why you slicing into turkey? Or for you nasty people, you know, eating the booty noodles or the AKA the chitlins.
The booty noodles? Oh,
you know, they started calling them booty noodles. Like, I'm just now seeing
yuck.
That thing.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's something new, bro.
Yeah, bro. Like, I've been seeing memes about it. I'm like, when they start calling, and I'm seeing them everywhere. They call them booty noodles now.
Booty noodles.
The booty. But anytime, you know, the food is, I mean, for football fans, yeah. Football is our favorite. That's our favorite part about Thanksgiving. Yeah, of course, the family, the food, the fellowship, all that good stuff. That's beautiful.
The fellowship.
You know what I'm saying? That's a church word. But but yeah, anytime like Thanksgiving comes, the first thing on our mind is football. Let's watch some football. And we got three games coming on. And it's only one good game. Because I think the Falcons are playing somebody. Nobody wants to see the Falcons.
Who the hell scheduled them?
I think the Falcons are playing the Panthers, right? Or something like that.
Who scheduled that mess?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But then, too, you also have to keep in mind that when they schedule these games, they don't expect the teams to be
cued,
Marco.
The booty! Oh!
The booty!
They don't expect those teams to be that, which they are. So I'm done with my Lions rant or whatever you want to call it. I'm just humbly bowing out. I can't do it anymore, man. I love sports too much. I respect the game of football way too much to sit up here and watch patheticness go on week in and week out. You know what really pissed me off?
You know what really grinds my gears?
Is when Matt Patricia... They're interviewing this guy. I think at the time we're 3-3-1.
Falcons and Saints.
Okay. I do want to see my Saints.
Bills and Cowboys.
I think that's going to be my next team.
Bills and Cowboys. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, yeah, because Jason Garrett's job is on the line.
Who the hell made the Falcons the primetime game? Like, who?
Bro, nobody thought they was going to be that.
They need to flex that. I would have flexed that.
You can't flex a Thanksgiving game.
I would have. As soon as I seen them lose their first six, all right, y'all ain't playing on Thanksgiving no more.
Do you really think it would have took you six games to flex that?
Yeah.
When they started out 1-3, they should have been like, okay, we need to figure something out.
Because this is straight cheekage. I think they should have.
Cheekage.
Yeah, it's true cheekage. I think they should have changed that game, man, and just
you know what though. But that's not too bad of a game.
They should have flexed that game, but really they couldn't because they could have. They should have flexed that game and had the Ravens and Niners on Thanksgiving night.
Ooh, now that would have just been too like right,
too much like the right thing to do.
That would have been too beautiful right there.
They have to flex this game, man.
Jackson, they finna get off like that against them San Fran boys.
But see, the Sunday night game is the Patriots and Texans. I don't care to see that. You can make that a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. You can make that a 1 o'clock game and then make the Niners and Ravens has to be a primetime game.
I have a rebuttal for what you said about the Saints and Falcons.
Why? Don't nobody want to see that.
Well,
excrement.
This is the thing. You still got two other games, right? And the thing about it is,
the other two games are ass too.
Not the
Bills and Cowboys is a good one.
That's gonna be a good one. It's in Dallas too, right?
You got Bears, Lions, Bills, Cowboys, and then you got the Saints at the Falcons.
Yeah, this might be the year for the lowest ratings.
Nobody wanna watch that crap.
But see, this is my rebuttal for that. Do people even watch Thursday night football like that? I mean, even though I was watching the game live when the Browns and Pittsburgh got into that fight in the final 8 seconds of the game, aside from that, people didn't really watch that game because both of those teams are, cue it, Marco.
The booty! Oh!
So, I mean, that's my rebuttal for that. I mean, that the Falcons-Saints game is going to be better than the average Thursday night football game.
Yeah, well. So, I'll tell you this, okay? Thanksgiving, after the Bears play the Lions, and I hope that the Bears can get on a nice little winning streak.
I hope
streak
the Bears
here.
Beat the brakes off the Lions. I hope the fans walk out at halftime booing.
And we get on a nice little winning streak here, which will put us at
6-6.
6-6.
Yep.
Still alive for the playoffs.
Y'all was just 3-5 a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all look, I mean, you know, y'all look decent.
And low key, and I'm not even finna say here, should have been, would have been, could have been. As bad as we played all year, we still got a shot. You know?
Yeah.
We still got a shot.
Y'all in there.
As bad as
we
played.
What's crazy about it and what's actually sad for you guys?
We mess around to get Akeem Hicks back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let us get him back. And we got a shot, and we down our last two, because our last two would be Green Bay and Minnesota.
I mean, y'all got a shot, but who are the two teams y'all vying for? The Seattle Seahawks are 9-2. You're not mm-hmm. catching them. And
we don't
who's
have,
the other
we don't
team?
Have, we
somebody else is 8-3. Is it Minnesota? Minnesota's 8-3. So you got to pray for Minnesota to drop a couple.
They will. They will, just you like know, Green Bay dropping games.
Because Deion Sanders said on the show last night, I was watching the Prime show last night, he said he think Minnesota going to take that the NFC North, so then y'all will be fighting with Green Bay at that point.
Well, again, we've beaten everyone
right.
in our division
right.
except for Green Bay.
Right.
So we went out and finished 10-6.
Bro, I know Aaron Rodgers be wanting to slap the taste out of Matt LaFleur's face. Because he'd be all in his face.
Okay, well, speaking of, they got their ass kicked last night.
Yeah, they got
37-8.
And you text me and I was asleep. I had
37-8.
Yeah.
They were bludgeoned. they were bludgeoned.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, just
they were executed on national TV, man.
Good.
San Fran.
Good.
Is,
you know,
is
no,
serious.
No, because, again, San Fran defense is no different than what the Bears defense was to start the season. Okay? It's the same damn defense. Same. Only difference is San Fran can put points up when our offense can't. That was the only difference. Because there is no way. We should have ran the score up on Green Bay, but we didn't. Why? Because we got baby nuts back there. You know, and he looks like a deer in headlights when the game is going. So, you know, but needless to say, we get Akeem Hicks back, our anchor, our heart and soul of that defense in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, buddy.
Yeah.
We got a chance.
We got a chance. Somebody's going to have to lose for you guys.
It's okay,
to, you know.
But it can happen.
Mm-hmm. It can happen. You know,
that's the beauty of it, man, is that you're in it. You know, the Lions, you're out of it. And see, yesterday we would have still been in it if we won yesterday, because now you're 4-6-1.
Well,
Greek, so you're mathematically still in the fight.
Y'all was eliminated yesterday with that loss to the Redskins.
For sure.
Well, I think you were eliminated when we beat you.
No, because you can go 9-6-1 and make the playoffs if you own a tiebreaker.
Y'all 3-7 though?
3-7-1. Yep.
Yikes.
Shout out to Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers. He's from Dearborn.
Saleh.
It says S A L. So I said Saleh.
Oh, okay.
But you know, Saleh, however you want to say it. You know, shout out to him, man. He's from Dearborn, and he's worked his way up.
What high school did he go to?
Let me see. They were just talking about it on the radio not too long ago, because he played at Dearborn Fortson. That's actually the team that beat Cass Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they beat Cass Tech, but they're one of those high school powerhouses in the Metro Detroit area every year. But he went to Northern Michigan. He started his career off as a defensive assistant at Michigan State. So he went from Michigan State to Central Michigan to Georgia. Then he went to Houston, Texas in 2005, and he worked his way up from there. Seattle Seahawks. He learned a lot from, Pete Carroll and those guys and Ken Norton.
Nothing wrong with that, man. And you know, that's what's up. That's pretty dope. But the thing is, though, man, it's just like, you living out of a damn box from year to year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's stressful.
But you know what, though? And yes.
But you're living out your dream, though.
But you're living out your dream.
And now he's about to become a head coach next
season. Oh, yeah. He'll definitely be a head coach. If not next season.
I say next season.
Yeah,
The NFL wants the next hot thing. Yeah, the NFL wants the next hot thing.
And if San Fran defense fall off next year.
Jason Taylor. He kind of looks like Jason Taylor, though. But,
yeah.
But
he's I'm trying to think what descent he is, because he's the first of his
if he's from Dearborn, bro, you already know.
Yeah, he's Arabic.
Arabic.
That's right. Thank you. I was trying to think of the politically correct.
He's Arabic. He's of Arabic descent. Yeah. Okay.
So he's the first Arabic coach in the
shout
NFL
out to
history.
All my shout out to all my Arabs, Muslims, you know, and Dearborn, man. Much
no
love.
No
much
doubt.
Love.
Dearborn, Hamtramck is another
with y'all fine women. Boing. And they know they love them. They know they love them some bright, boy.
Man, you better go ahead with that.
Boing.
But yeah, man,
speaking
San
of women,
Fran spanked them boys though last night.
Speaking of women though, you know, jumping off into the next subject here, the asinine fool of the Los Angeles Clippers making that derogatory remark because his choice is Caucasian women, white women.
Are you talking about Patrick Patterson?
Yeah. That's your choice. That's your preference to dog and say.
Dog, pun intended.
Right. Pun intended to say that black women.
Well, he implied that black women are bulldogs. He didn't say it. He didn't say that specifically. He was on Instagram talking to somebody. I believe he knows him because the way the guy was talking to him, Patrick Patterson could have snapped on my man, but he was talking to him like they must be friends or something, and he kept replying back and forth. So I think they know each other somehow.
Regardless of the fact,
mm-hmm.
those are comments that me as a black man mm-hmm. to another black man coming from a black woman. You know, a black woman raised you, she fed you, she clothed you, mm-hmm. she bathed you, she raised you. How can you make them foul ass comments? I don't respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, I mean, mm-hmm. again, this is his personal preference on what he chooses, you know, as and what he decides to deal with. That's
right.
Cool.
And for those of you who don't know what comments were made, basically the guy was saying that if you didn't play in the NBA, you would have never married old girl.
And nah, that's not true.
Well, I mean, that's what he was saying.
Right, but that's not true,
Patrick
though.
Patterson was playing for Toronto at the time, and he was like, well, yeah, that's true. You know, I was in Toronto. I probably would have never met her if I wasn't in Toronto, so on and so forth. You know, I mean, y'all could go read it for yourselves. You want me to read it?
No, we ain't going to read that trash.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, just with the fact that he married a white woman, well,
Yeah, because old boy was like, yeah, you grew up loving our women, just like you said. You grew up loving our women. Why wait till you get some real money, you know, for your perspective to change, basically? He was like, if it wasn't for the NBA, if you worked at Walmart in Toronto, you wouldn't even had a chance with this young lady, basically, he was saying. And then so Patrick Patterson was like, so I should settle for a bulldog and act like I'm happy with my life and preach, keep it in your race. Basically, Patrick Patterson was saying he don't see color. And I hear a lot of...
And I get that, right?
I hear a lot... Most of the time I hear people say I don't see color. It's people who are of other
races. Don't understand how my brothers of... I just don't understand how African-American men can... They, like, symbolize being with a white woman as success. Where did that come from? I don't get it.
I've never saw it that way.
No. But people make these comments and they say, oh, well, why you wait until you get some money and then go marry a white woman? Like, where does that signify success?
And I disagree with that
who
notion.
Who you love is who you love.
Exactly.
Regardless
I disagree
of the fact.
With that notion because I actually see a lot of collegiate guys.
I see a lot of sisters married to a lot of black athletes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who marries who. And this is the problem with society in the day with sports,
right?
You know, with sports in general, because black women has this mindset that he gonna blow up and go get him a white girl. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah,
who you love is who you love. It don't matter.
It's just crazy that even with King and all those guys,
belittle. What you came from as like that's like disgraceful.
Yeah,
that's where I have a problem.
Exactly.
Where I have a huge problem. Now, look, I don't give a damn who you lay with.
Right.
That ain't got nothing to do with me. That ain't none of my business. However, when you start trying to, you know, belittle or to degrade where you came from,
it's a lot of
issues there.
And, for sure.
You know, internally within that young man. So, whatever. Most sisters for me. Anyhow, moving on.
Yeah.
Just a touch up. I see my man Melo came back to the NBA.
Yes, yes.
Big ups to my dog Melo. Cue the applause, Marco. Round of applause for Carmelo Anthony.
Standing ovation, man, for my dog.
About damn time.
Yes, that's exactly what LeBron tweeted.
About damn time.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, me and Bright, we sat here, man, and we was like, bro, Melo need to be in the league. Way back, probably episode 4, bro. Like. There's
one,
no
two,
reason.
Three. I'm a huge, look, me personally, I'm a huge Melo fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still think that he should have won Rookie of the Year, you know, over LeBron. Or if you wanted to go further into the year, in my Rookie of the Year voting, I would have put LeBron third. And this is the honest to God truth.
The reason was too much hype behind LeBron.
Of course, but what I'm saying is I would have put LeBron third. Mm-hmm. Melo averaged 20. LeBron averaged 19. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people are forgetting that is that Dwayne Wade took the Miami Heat damn near to the Eastern Conference Finals as a rookie.
Yep, that's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So if Melo don't get it, if Melo don't get it, it shouldn't have been LeBron, then give it to D. Wade.
But see, this is the thing about it is that there's always been a discussion, and we could even go to a couple years ago, Ben Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When do they cut off? OK, your rookie year of success. The line is drawn here, because if you want to just wait till the playoffs is over to determine who the rookie of the year is, then you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk about, OK, LeBron won rookie of the year, but his team didn't make the playoffs. Carmelo didn't win rookie of the year, but he averaged more and his team did make the playoffs. Like, what are the stipulations? How far are you going into the season before you're determining this is my rookie of the year?
Okay.
And I think they also need to change the rules, man. Like, if you get hurt, and Blake Griffin got hurt too, you know, he sat out his whole first year. If you get hurt, bro, in your rookie year, you're automatically disqualified from being rookie of the year. That's the way I would go about it. It's not fair. It's not fair to those guys who spend the whole year balling out and doing their thing, and then you got a player like Ben Simmons or Blake Griffin who spent a whole rookie year in the system. You know, you got the lingo down. You done heard coaches. You done dined with the players. You done flew on planes. You're no longer a rookie, bro. You had a whole year, like you're broken in. The only thing that's missing is that you got on the floor and got beat up a little bit and learned the game and got winded and all the things that the rookies go through. You know, you hitting a brick wall midway through the season and all these things. That's the only thing you're missing. As far as you being drafted and being a part of the culture of the NBA, you're no longer a rookie. I don't care if you sat out. That's not our fault. So I think they need to change those rules. But that leads me into Luka Doncic, man. Speaking of rookies of the year, the young man is balling, man.
What do you mean, speaking of rookies of the year?
Luka was a rookie of the year in his rookie year is what I'm saying.
Well, okay.
Against Trae Young.
That's just
my segue into how he's balling out.
Okay, well, giving up to Luka, Luka is that deal.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, you know, everybody say, oh, well, I got LeBron in the MVP vote. No, because LeBron is playing with stars.
Oh, yeah.
You can't give an MVP. Listen, and this is my honest to God opinion.
There you go.
You cannot give an MVP to an individual who, without these other stars on this team, was straight up, cue it, Marco.
The booty. Oh.
How the hell in the world can you find that as your MVP? Who are you most valuable to? You ain't without your homeboys.
Right.
Cue that, Marco. No. That's LeBron. You ain't without your homeboys.
I feel you.
Straight up. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You need a squadron around you in order for you to be great.
A squadron. I like that.
Okay.
See, and that's why I think Nash won those two MVPs.
No.
I think that's why, though.
Hell no.
Because he was valuable to the Phoenix Suns.
He was valuable to the Phoenix Suns, yes. But
on a different level.
On a different level.
They was winning 60 games without Amare.
No, they played.
No, bro.
Amare did play. Amari was the catalyst.
Like the 05-06 times.
Amari was the catalyst. What are you talking about, man?
No, I'm just talking about because he tore his ACL up a couple times.
Okay, but those years Steve Nash didn't win the MVP.
Those are the years he won it.
Okay.
Like 05-06 around that time. But go ahead, bro. I don't want to throw you off.
Like I'm saying, from this whole.
I think MVP has always meant something different.
To whoever the hell votes.
Exactly.
Yes, it means something different to whoever the hell
votes. We agree on that.
But my thing is this, okay? Luka has who? Can you name anybody on that Dallas Mavericks team outside of Kristaps Porzingis?
Porzingis.
Name anybody else.
Well, J.J. Barea, that's just my guy, but no, not
J.J. Barea is
stars,
like, J.J. Barea is like 125 in dog years.
Exactly.
If you put him in human years, you see what I'm saying?
He's Devin Harris is still over there.
Right.
It's like his third stint with the Mavs.
Damn, do we dig up Devin Harris, bro?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Corpse of Devin Harris.
Jesus Christ. Right. But what I'm saying is Luka is playing with absolutely nobody, and Luka is throwing up 30, 13, and 12.
Right, yeah. He balling.
And it's crazy.
He's actually the Slovenian LeBron, bro. Actually.
Crazy.
Because he do it all.
He crazy.
Yep.
And the crazy thing is.
And he's super young, too.
There are times where, like the other night, Luka threw up. 35. He had 35, 36 points. He had about 13 assists, and he had about 11 boards, and it was still about a good 22 minutes left in the game.
That's crazy.
So, literally, he did this by damn near halftime.
Yeah.
And then he just sat out the whole entire second half. That's some Kobe-type-ish.
That's crazy.
That's some Kobe Bryant-type-ish.
Yeah.
And, again, and this is why I'm telling you, when we talking about MVPs, because those MVPs that Steve Nash was winning those 2 years were really Kobe's.
I think one was Kobe's, one was Shaq's.
The only reason, no, both years were Kobe's.
Okay.
The only reason why Kobe wasn't winning MVP is because Kobe was coming off that rape case. That's it. This man averaged 40 points for a month.
You got a point.
Do you understand what this cat was doing?
Sorry, 40? I didn't mean to say Shaq. I think it was somebody else. I think Wade should have got one of those. I think Kobe should have got one. Wade should have got one. I didn't mean to say Shaq.
Both years was Kobe.
Okay.
Both years, hands
but
down.
Yeah, he was dealing
Kobe
with a whole
Bryant.
Lot.
Yeah,
he was dealing with a lot of that.
This
time.
Man was averaging 40 points an entire month. 40. Do you know how freaking hard that is?
Yeah,
do you
know only how like many, three players who've done that.
Do you know how many games they play in a month?
That's and like some Iverson
for
type.
You to fly to Eaglehead, Colorado, or whatever the I think it was Eaglehead, Colorado, or whatever, because that's where he was taken care of. For
the
you
case.
To fly to Colorado, deal with that, then get on a charter flight, your own, then you get on a jet and go to the game and drop like 50.
Yeah, bro. That's crazy.
Drop like 50 and then leave there and go right back to court.
And on top of that, you got to think about the mental strain. I mean, he's going to arenas where they booing him. you know, people and yelling out fueled, raper.
It just fueled his fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll ever see these cats today in the game are so mentally weak.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally.
Yeah.
One, you could tell they're mentally weak because they want to team up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was the thing to team up, get the super team, mm-hmm. you know, and then Kawhi, and then, you know, and then Kawhi comes through, no super team with Toronto. He busts that up.
Mm-hmm.
Then he breaks up all the super teams, and now you just got duos now.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else is going to come through and bust up these duos, and then you're going to go right back to the trend in the NBA of it being one star with his team. These cats ain't built like that in this era of NBA. But these younger cats,
yeah.
they want to be the man. They don't want to team up with you. They want to beat you. They want to rip your heart out.
Guys like Giannis and so forth.
Yeah, Giannis. Yeah. I get that. Yeah, Giannis. Right. And then mm-hmm. you got the younger guys mm-hmm. under him, like a la Amani Bates. Shout out to Monty, man. Shout out to Monty out there in Ipsy.
Well, we don't really know what he want to do yet because he ain't sniffed the NBA yet. I know what you're saying.
His father is already telling me
mm-hmm.
that if they open that rule, if mm-hmm. they go ahead and change that rule, Monty going to the NBA.
Well, they're supposed to be changing it like next year, right?
Yeah. So Monty's only a sophomore. Amani is a sophomore. So with Amani, when Amani becomes a senior,
mm-hmm.
he's going to the draft, and he will be the number one pick. The number one pick in the NBA draft. He is the only young man since LeBron James to grace the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the youngest to do it. Remember, they put LeBron on there as a junior, the cover of Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. They put Amani Bates on there as a sophomore.
That's what's up, man.
Sophomore. First time ever. Lincoln Rail Splitters in Ypsilanti. First time ever they've ever won in the school's long, illustrious history, a state championship in basketball. Who delivered it to them? Amani Bates as a ninth grader. Gatorade Player of the Year.
That's what's up, man.
It's only four phenoms. They said only four phenoms
mm-hmm.
in this world. In this world that you just look at and you know that they have it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was Magic Johnson. Number two was Michael Jordan. Number three was LeBron James. Number four is Amani Bates.
Okay.
I know.
What about Zion and
no.
some of these guys?
No. They're not him.
Okay. I don't know enough about him to.
Right. You got to read. You got to read your Sports Illustrated. You got to get the Sports Illustrated magazine. Okay. When I say this young man is special,
mm-hmm.
he is 6'9". Mm-hmm. And this one, he was in the ninth grade now. He's still going to grow. The boy is 6'9". 6'9", handles the ball like a point guard, shoots like a two guard, speed of a point guard, body of a wingman.
Mm-hmm. City special, huh?
Special.
You remember Lenny Cooks, man?
Yeah, I remember Lenny Cook.
What happened to that guy, man? He was supposed to be that guy. I think he was like a year above LeBron, though. Like a year ahead of LeBron. Like, he was about our age, I think.
Lenny Cook was our year.
Yeah.
He came out 01.
That's crazy, man. What happened to him, man? He never even sniffed the NBA court.
Because Lenny Cook was too busy trying to live an NBA life while he was in high school. That's what happened to Lenny Cook.
Tragic story.
Only difference between LeBron James and Lenny Cook is that LeBron James had a real team around him that cared about him. Lenny Cook had a team of hanger-ons mm-hmm. and beggar bees yeah. around him. Yeah. And, you know, watch the Lenny Cook documentary. Have you ever watched that?
That's what I need to see. I need to see what
yeah,
it's about.
Yeah, he out here hanging out with prostitutes and going to strip clubs and drinking alcohol and liquor out in Vegas and all this other dumb stuff.
See that?
That's
see,
why
that
you didn't
to,
make it.
That goes to, like, who do you have in your life?
Again, that's why I said that's the only difference between LeBron James and Lenny Cook.
Man, I actually want to take this time out to shout out LeBron, man. I know a lot of people don't like him and the antics and different things like that, man. But to be honest with you, man, can you imagine what he went through, like, growing up? Like, no dad, like, coming from the hood. And you know what I'm saying? Like we don't really take the time out to think about, you know, you look at guys like Steph Curry and all these other guys who got their mom, their dad, their AAU coach. I mean, the whole nine. This dude came up without none of that, bro. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure he had people in his life, but I'm just Like, that takes that's hard, bro. Him and KD coming up with a single, you know, single parent home and all that
you
stuff.
You always have a father figure in your life if you don't have a father. Somebody's a father figure, whether it's a coach.
But he had to embrace that.
Again.
It takes that person to say, you know what, listen, I need to.
LeBron is a hell of a man.
Yeah.
A hell of a man. Right. I commend him for that.
For sure.
He's a hell of a man. He's a hell of a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a hell of an athlete. Don't know the man personally, so I can't attest to that.
Right.
But him, us throwing this, oh, well, single mother.
No, I mean that's special to me.
That's 90% of the damn, that's 90% of the sports world grew up without a father. That's 90% of the sports world with African-American athletes. It's 90%.
But how many of them are him?
What do you mean how many of them are
him? I'm just saying, like, he's broken through a lot of barriers to get where he is. And I mean, becoming the businessman that he became. To me, that's impressive. That's super impressive to me, man.
He put himself in that situation to where he didn't want to become what was around him.
And I always shout out,
you're not born with that.
Right.
That's learned along the way. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So somebody with the wherewithal and the knowledge to see what he had going,
right,
and to see what he had going around him and put that in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did what, and then he took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Where he reached back to help Maverick Carter, to help, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To help his boys.
Right.
Because we a team, we the four horsemen.
Right.
You know, to help his boys, look, this is what we going to do. I'm going to put y'all in a position to do this, put y'all in a position to do that, do this, do this, do that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to pay for y'all to go here. I'm going to pay for y'all to go there so we can become this conglomerate together.
But that's super dope because a lot of times you expect some kind of uncle or some kind of father figure or something to say, you know what? Okay.
How do you know somebody didn't do that?
I know, but if they did, he would make more mention of them because LeBron.
Not true.
Because LeBron
not
is the
true.
Kind of person
nah.
that gives.
How do you know?
How
do you know what kind of person he is? You don't know him outside of what you see on TV.
This is just my. Just like you got an opinion. This is my opinion, bro. LeBron is one of those kind of people that he's like. Just watching this Instagram page. Just this is just a small sample size of what I'm saying. Watching this Instagram page, the powerful man that LeBron is. He has shouted out and has pushed and promoted so many people and shown love and honor where it's due to so many people. So I'm just saying, like, if he had that one, you know how Shaq always talk about the Colonel? Oh, the Colonel helped me this, that. Colonel this, and I was raised in this kind of home. You would hear LeBron. I'm just saying, you would hear LeBron. He had his own show, The Shop, and all of that. You would hear him talk more about, well, I'll never forget this man. Oh, Johnny, you know, oh, Mr. Johnny Williams in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about, I think it took a community to push LeBron where he is. It wasn't no one or two guys that got him where he's at right now. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, because you're like, how do you know? I don't know. But I'm just saying from what I see, that takes a heck of a man. That's a huge, like, I'm just saluting him for what he's done.
Do you know that he was hanging out with Michael Jordan since he was 14 years old?
See, you could say he was hanging out.
No,
bro.
No.
LeBron,
no.
Jordan don't hang out with kids,
listen
bro.
To what I'm telling you. Because Jordan was the one that said LeBron James was the next up in the game when he was only 14, 15. How you think he got on?
Okay, but you can't say Mike was like he was a father figure to me.
I no one said that.
Okay.
All I'm saying is he was hanging out with Michael Jordan and other NBA stars while he was in high school.
He was definitely
Listen, listen to me. And if everyone is telling you this is the next one up, mm-hmm. you don't think those financial advisors, financial planners, you don't think people was telling him how to move it, maneuver and do whatever he got to do in his life? You don't think them people wasn't in his life since he was 14? Since they knew he was going to be the next big thing?
That's wonderful, but it still takes something in
again,
him.
Exactly. But what I'm saying mm-hmm. is, again, mm-hmm. if you watch that Lenny Cook documentary, LeBron already had a team. He had a team. Okay, a team.
When you say team, what you mean?
Team of people, okay. of people that was managing his life. A team.
Okay.
When he was a sophomore in freaking high school, a team.
I remember.
Okay.
I remember seeing him on ESPN.
Local
and all that.
People, a team. Okay. So don't say, oh, well, man, he had all this going. No, that's bull. Okay. He wasn't a normal kid, and he wasn't coming up as a normal kid.
Mm-hmm.
the kid's been a star since he could dribble a damn ball. All right. So it was always people around him. Well, it's just the fact that when he became old enough to do stuff on his own,
right,
he put himself in play with the right people to do what he needed to do. But he also, when he came into the game, mm-hmm. he also had the mindset of, yeah, I'm going to use you to gain and soak up all this knowledge, and then I'm going to do my own thing without you. Because, again, I have a plan for myself and for my team.
But I don't think it was, I mean, the way you made it sound, it just sounded cold how you said that. I think he was going to use the experience, the knowledge, and then move his way. But don't say it like, oh, I'm going to do it without you. Like that, I don't think he's that kind of guy. I don't think he's that selfish.
Again, when
kind
I
of
say,
guy.
When I say.
I'm just saying the way you made it sound.
Listen to what I'm telling you. When I say do it without you, mm-hmm. that means do it without the agents. Because mm-hmm. he did come in
right.
with an agent
Cut
first.
Cut out the middleman and all that.
Cut out the middleman.
Right, I get
That's
that.
That's what I mean by do it without you.
I get you.
You get what I'm saying?
On the business tip. I get you.
Exactly.
But even then, you know, it's still impressive because you have to manage all these voices. You have to manage, okay, I'm going to keep a clean image. I'm going to stay with the same girl I'm with. It's a lot of pressures with money and you name it that comes at a guy like that. And I'm just... Dude is super impressive, bro. He's way more impressive than Michael Jordan ever was to me. I'm sorry. And I love MJ.
As far as what, a person?
Just his character, everything, bro. His whole brand. LeBron James is an impressive brand. And you could say, oh, Jordan helped him. Yeah, nah, not really. Not really.
An impressive brand, but you're saying his brand is more impressive than the iconic logo.
I'm saying, we ain't talking about no logo. We talking about character.
Character.
We talking about the things he's done for the community that are known.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say Jordan hasn't, because Jordan has been donating, doing things and all that stuff too. And I'm not even like necessarily trying to measure them or.
You can't, so don't try.
Right. But I'm just saying on the level of brandom, that might not even be a word.
No, it's not.
Okay. But his brand is literally, he's a trendsetter. He's created something that we've never seen anybody do.
As far as what?
Everything, man. I mean, he controls everything. He controls his brand. He controls even the decision, if you want to go to the decision. Like, he literally
was playing chess. Because I'm not going to let you do this to yourself, all right?
No, I'm not doing nothing to myself. All I'm saying is that his brand is impressive.
But you're saying he's doing something that we've never seen before.
We have not seen this on this level.
As far as what?
Tell me what can you compare his brand to another individual?
Jordan brand.
Okay, explain.
There's nothing to explain.
All we know is that he sold sneakers and people got killed over him for years.
Okay.
Tell me something.
You sound stupid.
Tell me something.
I can't have this conversation with you.
I'm open to hear.
I can't have this conversation with you. Because
Jordan never stood up for equal rights or any of that stuff.
Listen, I'm not going to have this conversation
with
you.
I'm just saying, man.
You're not qualified in my realm to have this conversation with me, so we're not going to go there.
We can have a conversation off air because we ain't got time. I don't really want to argue with you. I'm just trying.
I'm not trying to argue
I'm just
with
saying
you.
That his brand is impressive, bro. Tell me something.
I did say it's an impressive brand, but
give me one
LeBron
or two
does,
examples what Jordan did outside of selling Jordans.
Listen.
That's all I'm saying.
We're in the social media age. So, of course, you're going to know what LeBron does.
I get it.
Social
get
media
it.
Didn't exist back then.
But stories come up all the time.
No, they don't.
Tell
because
me
a
something
time,
that Jordan did.
Because
bro.
A lot of times people donate millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they don't want to be noticed. Some people don't want to be noticed. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But you didn't know that Jordan, a whole village, a whole city, he put clean water there. But you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that. You see what I'm saying? Because, again, this isn't going publicized. Everybody thought Oprah was the first to do it. Oh, she brought a whole country. No, Jordan did that. Okay, but these are things that you don't hear about. This man's a billionaire. It's not by mistake. LeBron is following the Jordan blueprint, the foundation that Jordan laid. Jordan didn't become a billionaire by just selling sneakers. Don't be stupid.
I don't see anything...
Again, now what LeBron is doing with the schools,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing with that? Okay, that's great.
Okay.
But it's been done before.
I'm going to tell you something else.
Hold on. Just silence.
Go ahead.
Is LeBron the first athlete you ever seen to open a school?
No.
A successful school?
Guys was doing that. No, guys been doing that.
Right, but I'm just saying. So why are we praising like, oh, this is so incredible? Jalen Rose did it.
I'm talking about his whole brand. I'm
right,
not talking
what
about
I'm saying is Jalen Rose did the same.
He did.
LeBron took the Jalen Rose format with the school. He took the Jordan format with the brand and the sneakers and everything else, the marketability. Because everything that Jordan did, LeBron is copying. Space Jam, the tennis shoes, the I gotta win the rings.
I understand what you're
saying. Stop it, man.
I understand what you're saying, but
you say these things.
Those are things that winners want. You want your own shoe brand to go to the next level. You want to do movies. Everybody wants to win championships.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
You can't just say just
who
because other guys
it?
Did it.
Who started
he,
it?
He took their blueprint.
Who started it?
Who started what?
Who started it?
Who started
nobody
what?
Had a nobody had a had a signature shoe before Mike. So who started it?
So I remember back when Magic and Bird was doing the Converse.
Okay,
and Isaiah.
And were they marketable?
But see, there's levels to everything.
Answer the
there's
question.
There's levels to everything.
Answer the question. Were they marketable? Yes or no?
I
who changed
so.
The shoe game?
MJ definitely changed the shoe game. I'm not taking nothing away from MJ. That's the thing about it.
Who changed?
Just because somebody's giving praise to
changed,
one brand.
Who changed the athlete marketability? Do you know the only damn reason you wear Nike's now is because of Mike?
I got on a pair of J's right now.
Why are you wearing Nike?
I got a pair of J's
why,
right now.
Okay, answer the question, though. Who took Nike to the global level?
Bro,
if there is no Mike, there is no Nike.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
I understand that.
Do you ever have you ever watched Have you ever watched the documentary The Soul Game? Have you ever watched that? If you say no, then just say no. I'll inform you.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Now, let me break this down to you so you can understand, young man. Okay? Adidas had Jordan first. Had the opportunity to sign Jordan. You know, if Jordan's today would be by Adidas. If Adidas did their due diligence. But they didn't. So what it came down to, hold on. What it came down to, they were looking for a huge global athlete. Because beforehand, Nike was only known as a running shoe.
Everything okay? You're talking about is sneakers, my friend.
Listen to what I'm telling
Everything
you.
Everything you're
talking
about
no,
is sneakers.
No. Because Nike started out as a track shoe for pre-La Fontaine. Do you know that Phil Knight was his track coach at Oregon?
Yep.
Okay, so that's how the shoe started, with the waffle iron.
Mm-hmm.
That's why every Air Max, every running shoe back then and up to today that you've seen was a freaking waffle iron.
And I know, I know the Nike logo was cheap to make, and it was by a lady who wore glasses and all this. Okay,
no, that's still Phil Knight's logo.
Everything you're talking about is sneakers,
what I'm
though,
telling
bro.
You, what I'm telling
Let's
you
talk
is
about
this.
The brand.
Okay, but listen, what I'm telling you is this. Nike was local, okay, and they gave their all to Mike.
Okay.
And Adidas did not buy into Mike because they wanted to see more. Needless to say.
So Adidas blew it. Okay.
So needless to say, Nike is the biggest shoe conglomerate there will ever be.
Absolutely.
And it is because of one man, Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Okay. Beautiful story. You still haven't told me about a brand. Are you talking about the sneakers?
We're talking about the brand. Are you saying that we've never seen this before? We're talking about the brand, the man.
Okay, I think ultimately what I'm trying to say is, and let me be very
LeBron
clear.
LeBron is doing his thing in
LeBron,
the community.
What
yes.
LeBron has done as a whole has never been seen by an athlete because his opportunities are greater.
It's never been seen by the regular folk because. Then there was no social media.
We're not talking about.
Talking about efforts and things that they do in the community. We're talking about things that they do in their lives, whatever, whatnot. And
let's just be honest, bro. Jordan is a selfish individual.
He can be. LeBron is too.
Okay. I think everybody has their selfish ways about themselves. But when it comes to. When it comes to people, right?
You hear the stories. We can't make this account, bro, because we don't know these men in their personal lives.
I'll just stick to my initial statement.
That's not fair.
What LeBron James' brand has done is incredible.
So leave it at that.
Shout out to him. Let's move on.
Yeah, because where you drew the problem is that we've never seen this. Come on, man. Don't do that.
Well, key word, seen. Right? Then you just got done saying Michael Jordan. It's a lot of stuff that we don't know and we haven't seen because of the social media age and different things like that. So you can't blame me for saying we haven't seen this before
yes,
because we haven't.
Yes, we have.
We haven't.
Yes, we have. You just don't know about it. Because, again, you like to look at a 15, 20-second video.
I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy.
You sound like it.
I might sound like it, but I'm just talking about from what we've seen as a people. Things that we see are things that have not been done. They have not been done in addition to. So I'll give you an example. He got the I Promise School, right? And then he goes and he says, I don't know all the details at the moment because I'm drawing a blank. But in addition to having the school, I think he says something about 95% of the students will be able to have this. Or I mean, he's putting them in. He's not only opening the school, he's putting them in position to succeed. In addition to that, he got the shoe thing. You know, he has a successful marriage. I'm not saying Michael Jordan, because, you know, Michael Jordan was a cheater. Michael Jordan was a gambler. I'm not necessarily bringing up their sins, but I'm just saying you have not seen this much success openly, consistently for this long a period.
You know the reason why he got out of Miami, right? Because he was about to get a divorce. You do know that, right?
Man, listen, man.
No, this ain't hearsay.
Everybody who's this been married this has hearsay. Had to. I've been married 10 years.
This ain't hearsay.
I've been married 10 years. Everything hasn't always been great.
Right. But you just said he's not a cheater.
I didn't say he's not a cheater. I said Jordan is a cheater.
Right. And you say he has a successful marriage. Bro. We don't know.
Okay. Let's move on.
We don't know.
I'm just saying it looks good.
Monday Night Football.
Everything that looks good is not always good, but I'm just saying I'm just commending a guy
big
for carrying his brand.
Big up to LeBron for what he did and what he does. That's amazing.
All right,
but we're not going to tear down another great.
I'm not, and that's the thing that's wasn't what it tearing him down.
But anyhow, moving on.
You tried to defend him so hard. I was just giving you.
No, it's not a defense.
I was trying to get examples from you.
You stating that
we've
never
seen this.
All you
can talk about was sneakers.
No, it wasn't about sneakers because again, I mentioned that he put water in a village. Where, and that's big money. Where you putting water in a village. That's big money, bro. Water to a village that doesn't have clean, adequate water. In a village. A village. That's huge, man. And that's one of the things he didn't even want publicity about. Don't talk to me about that. Again, these are things you don't know. Read up, man. Before you make comments, and you do this a lot. And I try to tell you time and time again, before you make these comments, I understand that we got these mics in front of us. I understand that, you know, we're putting it out there. But I want you to do your research before you go and you say something because you can't take that back.
Hey, I stand by everything I said today.
You stand by a lot of wrong
because
things.
Don't even do that. Because what I did was I literally praised one man. By the way, a man who you didn't ever really like back in the day. So you might have.
I don't like him as a player.
Okay.
I
didn't take this opportunity to tear Jordan down.
No.
I took this opportunity to praise LeBron.
He's a hell of a person. Hell of a player. I just don't like the fact of the mic comparisons because he's not on that level.
I'm
saying what you just said.
Yeah.
You said I didn't like him. That was the reason why I didn't like him.
A lot of times, if you say anything about LeBron, automatically, what did Mike do comes
they try
up.
To, they try to tie it into,
every time.
You know, all the time.
Every time. And what I said that triggered you was, we've never seen anything like this. As a whole. Like, to be able to juggle everything that he's juggled, stay healthy, play all these games. Let's move on. We only got a few minutes left.
You know, I mean, it's just some of the things, you know what I'm saying? It's just some of the things, bro, like donating $7.2 million to build a hospital in his hometown.
Yeah.
That's big money.
Absolutely.
That's Jordan doing that.
But see, everything doesn't always come to money either, though.
Hey, I'm just saying, man.
Sometimes it comes to the person that you are and the fabric of the man. And that comes through more than money can.
Helping at-risk communities, things of this nature. You know what I'm saying? You're taking care of home. These are things you don't see, though. Some of the things you don't see.
And see, the funny thing about you is saying, well, we haven't seen these things. You haven't seen these things before because the social media, this and that. The thing about it is, and you talking about what LeBron took from Jordan, what did Jordan take from LeBron?
Not a damn thing.
Okay.
What he supposed to take from him? Okay. He older. Okay. So what he supposed to take from a kid?
Yeah, no, just because you older, see, that's the problem.
Listen, this is the problem. You
could be an older man and get wisdom from a young man.
A man that's worth $2
billion. We're not talking about money.
Listen, what I'm telling
everything
you is.
Everything ain't money
what
and
I'm
shoes.
What I'm telling you is a man that's worth $2 billion is going to take what from somebody that's trying to get to his level?
Bro.
What can you take from
that's arrogance.
Them?
That's arrogance. It's not arrogance. In the highest degree.
It's reality.
No, that's not
because
reality.
Because you surround yourself with like-minded people.
Jordan,
right?
I guarantee you there's aspects.
Wait.
No, you wait. I guarantee you there's
does
aspects.
Does an eagle fly with regular birds?
They fly alone. They soar alone.
Okay.
I guarantee
Why?
You there are aspects.
Why?
I guarantee you there are
Answer
aspects of LeBron James that Jordan looked back and said, dang, I wish I would have did that when I was younger. That was wise. I guarantee it is. He might not ever say it. You cannot say.
Moving on.
Why would a old guy take advice or take something from a young guy?
Moving
That's
on.
Arrogance.
Moving on.
That's crazy.
Monday Night Football tonight. We got the Rams and we got the Ravens. Who you got?
I got the Ravens. I don't even care where they playing at.
I think it's in L.A.
Yeah, it's in L.A. I got the Ravens all day.
Ravens all day.
I got Lamar running all down Aaron Donald in the throat all night.
Ooh.
Running right past Clay Matthews in his hair.
I'm gonna take the Rams tonight.
Eric Weddle.
I'm gonna take the Rams tonight, and I'm gonna tell you why. Coming from the East Coast to the West Coast, one, that's a huge swing. Two, Aaron Donald is no joke. He consists of three. He takes about three, just like Khalil Mack takes about three people. You know, so.
I got Ravens, man.
I got Rams tonight. But moving on. Over the weekend, man, we had James Wilder and Ortiz. Who got the hell knocked out of him in the seventh round.
Got him.
Now Wilder needs to get back in the center as King Kong trudges forward. A right hand! Down goes Ortiz! Oh, my goodness!
One kill shot. But, you know, this is the funny thing about it is I'm so sick of watching Wilder get outboxed and look for one kill shot the entire fight in order to win the fight.
Hey.
I'm sick of it.
Hey.
Because that's not boxing. He's going to run up on the right opponent. That's going to beat the hell out of him. Literally. Listen, you're not going to get that kill shot every fight against a technical skilled fighter that knows how to box.
Yeah,
you're going to lose.
They were on social media saying that Wilder is not a boxer.
He's not. He's a brawler.
Mm-hmm.
He's a brawler. He's not a boxer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. Wilder fighting in the Mike Tyson era. He'd have got the hell beat out of him because these cats not only could knock you out, but they could box.
Yeah.
Holyfield would have whooped his ass.
Like Buster Douglas.
Buster Douglas would have whooped his ass. Tyson would have decimated his ass. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Lennox would have whooped his ass.
Lennox Lewis.
You see what I'm saying?
Holyfield might have even
Riddick Bowe would have beat his ass.
Yeah, Riddick Bowe, that was my dude.
You see what I'm saying? These cats would have beat the hell out of Wilder. Now, Wilder, don't get me wrong.
I like Wilder energy.
I like your energy. I like what you, but you're going to have to polish your boxing skills, man.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to polish your boxing skills, Playboy, because you coming into these fights, he was getting caught. He was getting caught. I mean, literally getting caught for seven rounds. And then he lands that one money shot and goodnight, Irene.
Why you call him James? Ain't his name Deontay?
Deontay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of the football player James Wilder. James Wilder Jr.
James, that man name
Deontay.
Is Deontay LaShawn Wilder.
Deontay LaShawn.
I didn't know he was 34.
Yeah, he's from Alabama.
He's from my dad's city, Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
James.
Yeah.
He looked like a James.
To this day.
To this day. To this day.
Ashy black.
To this day.
To this day.
He was born in 85.
To this day.
Yeah.
To this day. To this day.
42 total fights. He has 40 wins by knockout. 41. He's 41-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive, man.
He knocking everybody out, man.
Yep.
He became the first American heavyweight champion in 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the longest period.
He defeated one of them Klitschko brothers, didn't he?
I believe so. I can't remember which one.
To this day.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. His energy is nuts, man.
I like how he come to the ring, though, you know.
7-round knockout. Wow.
I told you, knocked him out in 7.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked him out in 7. I'm waiting on Shakur Stevenson and Gervonta Davis fight.
Okay.
That's going to be nice.
When is that?
Well, they haven't scheduled it yet.
Okay.
But they're trying to get it together. Hopefully Bob Arum can get it going and Floyd Mayweather can get this going, you know what I'm saying, to where they can go ahead and get some money together. But now I seen a post the other day, Floyd talking about coming out of retirement in 2020.
Yeah, I did see that. I seen that.
Like,
man.
Floyd, okay, I know you're not going to fight nobody for real, so you probably go fight somebody like, you know, like some circus type stuff.
Yeah.
Overseas or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, like he did with the Asian kickboxer guy and knocked him out and had him crying over there and made a quick $7 million.
Right.
Like, Floyd, stop, man. Listen, you are getting too old, brother.
Yeah.
You getting too old to be jumping your ass between them ropes. You know, yes. Trying to shoulder roll. I understand it, man, but Floyd, you an old man.
Yeah, it's about a rap for him.
Are you hurting for money or what, man? What is it really
no,
going
he,
on?
No, he ain't hurting for no
I
bread.
Hope not. Then nah. What the hell he keep trying to jump in the ring for?
I'm real, man. Floyd Mayweather, steak and potatoes for life.
Man, he probably just hearing, he probably hearing stuff and he want to get out there and
pull. Who is there for him to fight?
Yeah. Ain't nobody out
There's
there.
Nobody out there for him to fight.
You fight Wilder.
Please.
Hey, look, real quick, man, a couple records let's get into, man. Shout out to my man Frank Gore. I said it a few episodes ago that he was a few hundred yards behind Barry Sanders on the third
all-time.
Finally
passed him Sunday.
Kind of hurt my feelings, man, because, you know, Barry been number three for a long time, and Frank Gore took him 16, 17 years to do it. It seemed like it takes all these running backs super, super long to pass Barry.
Seemed like it took Emmitt Smith
like
30.
Emmitt, right. It took Emmitt about 19 years or so. He ended up going to the Cardinals to get it. But so shout out to Frank Gore, man. He's third all-time on the all-time running backs list. And then quick shout out to my favorite receiver in the NFL, Michael Thomas. This is his third consecutive year with 100-plus receptions, mm-hmm, and 1,200 yards.
He's on pace to break the single receptions mark that's held by Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison has about 144. And,
yeah,
and Michael Thomas,
he's
is
gonna
on
probably
pace
get 150 this year
for 150
because he got about 5 more games to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick, consecutive seasons. Antonio Brown, our favorite friend of the show, did this for 6 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive, man.
Won't be another year after this.
I think he'll get another crack at it, but we'll see next year.
Next year, if he clears this case up,
yeah, I think he'll be back next year. Marvin Harrison did it 4 times.
Cue the gunshots.
Marvin Killer Harrison.
Marvin Killer Harrison.
And my man from the Detroit Lions, Herman Moore, did it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Jerry Rice, and then Michael Thomas. So Jerry Rice, Herman, and Michael Thomas did it 3 times. And then just real quick for the dummy of the day,
dummy
that goes
of the day
to Vlade Divac. Who
Divac.
Divac or Divac. He, you know what? He got one of them names that could be a T or it could be a C.
Vlade.
Vlade. Dirk. You know, some people say Dirk Nowitzki, whatever. But Vlade Divac, he had a chance to draft Luka Doncic as the Sacramento Kings general manager. He did not draft Luka because he did not like Luka's daddy.
Wow.
So they must have some bad blood from back in the day or something in Slovakia or Slovenia or wherever.
NBA league, the best league. Here play the best player, and I must play here.
Or Turkey or wherever. I don't know. Sorry. But, yeah, that's about it, man. Dummy of the day goes to Vlade Divac. I used to like the Kings back in the day when they had those guys, Divac and Turkoglu and Doug Christie and all them guys, Weber.
Ain't that
they
so
had some good squads.
Yeah, they had
back
a nice little squad out there in Sacramento.
And Divac was one of the best passers for a big game. He used to throw it behind his back. Between the legs, all that. He was a nice man.
He was all right, but
he was nice.
Getting into our favorite segment of the day, the Bootios.
We gotta do this quick. The Booty.
Anyhow, before I was so rudely interrupted by this.
Don't start.
By this person over here. First box of Bootios goes to the Detroit Lions. Cue it, Marco.
The Booty.
Oh!
Oh, my God.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. None other than the nasty Motor City Kitties themselves. Why? Because they allowed, not only did they have a chance to go ahead and close it out against the Washington Redskins, but they blew it and allowed the young man, Dwayne Haskins, to get his first dub of the year.
And the 1-9
The 1-9 Washington Redskins. So you definitely deserve a box, man. Y'all are pure ass.
I just see, before you move on, I just see a story that the XFL denies Detroit Lions' request to re-sign quarterback Josh Johnson.
So, I mean, we care about this because
that's
what?
Another reason to give him a box, man. They should have never got rid of him.
Cue it, Marco.
The booty. Oh.
That's right. A double dose of stank-ass booty-os goes to the Detroit Lions. Moving on. Another recipient of the booty-os goes to
the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, my God.
We're going to jump sports today.
The Golden State Warriors.
Oh, my goodness.
Cue it, Marco.
The booty. Oh.
Damn, they suck, man. But, you know, it's all good because, again, they're trying to play the game, of course, so they can get that number one pick and get that young man out of Memphis. Go ahead and whip that up real quick.
Them boys 3-14. Ooh, that's nasty.
No, that's nasty.
Man, you got to put the Pistons in there too, man.
Another
5-11.
Another recipient that deserves a box of the booty-os goes to the Green Bay Packers. Cue it, Marco.
The booty. Oh.
Yeah, there was booty yesterday for sure.
Y'all was straight up cheekage last night, man. I mean, God damn.
Cheeks of the week.
Cheeks of the week. Booty of the week. Booty of the week.
Booty of the week.
Booty of the week.
I like that.
Booty of the week. Go, man. Packers, man. Y'all are frauds. I'm starting to believe you are true frauds because your first eight games were at home. First eight games at home. Now you going on the road and getting your damn teeth kicked in.
Yeah, I think the first like 6 out of 8 was at home.
Getting your shoot pushed in.
You stupid.
You know what I'm saying? Everywhere you go, you done got smacked by the Chargers.
Everywhere you go.
You done got smacked by the Niners. Like, man, these teams from the West Coast, man, is just destroying the Packers.
Bro, I got one for you, bro.
Who you got?
Them Kitties in Cincinnati.
They forever and forever give a lifetime box of. Cue it, Marco.
The booty. Oh.
Jesus Christ,
some
man.
Boys 0-11, not 0-11.
0-11.
0-11.
Jesus
11
Christ.
They done dropped 11 of them things.
Man, and they don't care. They had no shame either, bro. They
them
just
boys
like, man.
They definitely going to get Tua.
Hey, that is
they
extremely
won Tua.
Extremely funny. Dude.
They like, do not.
Tua not going number one. Dislocated hip, bro.
Yeah,
he ain't going.
No, we're going to have to see how he's looking.
He ain't going number one. I'm going to tell you that
especially
now.
If you look good at the combine.
He's not going number one.
Okay.
My man from LSU going to go number one.
Okay.
He ain't going number one. I'm going to tell you that now. Straight up and down. Another recipient.
Straight up. That's that Bruno Mars song.
Anyway, moving on, ladies and gentlemen. Cueing another recipient of the box of the booty-os.
The booty.
The booty. Oh.
The Carolina Panthers kicker.
What happened to them, man?
You blew it. You flat out blew it. You had a chance to go ahead and beat the New Orleans Saints with the go-ahead field goal, and you missed it.
Yeah.
Far right. What? No, you just missed it to the right.
And that was a division game, too. Which
huge
is even
division
more,
game.
Yeah, they
you
been
needed
six
that
and,
the worst way.
They would have been 6-5, and they would have put New Orleans at 8-3.
You needed that in the worst way.
In the worst way. No
last recipient of the booty-os goes to
the booty.
Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles, bro,
man.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
You wait till you get paid to show your true colors, man.
Yeah,
but you know what? The thing is
Seattle.
That you didn't have an injury to where Nick Foles would come in and bail you out and then get you good. And then, you know, y'all go ahead and go on this run or whatever. And then everyone in Philly still think that you just great quarterback. I told you, without Nick Foles there, you are. Cue it, Marco.
The booty. Oh.
Exactly.
I'm still trying Straight to figure out why cheekage. They throw so much. He threw 45 passes, and the running back only had 12 carries. I don't understand what's going on with that. Philly has always been known to be a good running team, you know, but they not they throwing the ball. He was 33 out of 45. That's not bad. But he threw he threw two picks and he got sacked five times.
Yeah. Honorable mention of the Bootio's recipient. Honorable mention. The damn Oakland Raiders. Gee, man, y'all got y'all.
Oh, man.
Ass.
By the Jets.
By the Jets.
The Jets only won like two games this year.
Yeah. That's killer,
34-3.
That's killer. That's definitely killer. But, you know.
Yep.
Closing out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Shouts out to Big over here with his solo
thank
single.
You, my brother. Thank
that's,
you.
That's blazing up the streets right now. Go
thank
ahead and
you.
Tell the people about it, man.
Yeah, man. I got a single I just put out, man. Singer-songwriter. I just put a single out called Bless My Soul. And it's online everywhere. It's on iTunes, Spotify.
I'll definitely be listening to it when I go ahead and partake in some of this Thanksgiving dinner. I'll be bless my soul. No, I'll
y'all check your boy out, man.
Check your boy out, man. With that said, hopefully we made your day a little bit
bigger
and a little bit brighter.
No doubt. Episode 24 in the books, man. Thank you. I'm going to go and do my research since I don't know enough about Jordan. You know, I'm going to go do some research.
Please do your research,
but I still stand by what I said, man.
Another foolery. But until next time, folks, we love you. We love your continued support.
Appreciate you.
Continue to listen to your boys. You know, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Big and Bright Show.
Yes, sir.
So with that said, go ahead and lead us out, Deuce.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.